Scuba dooby doo. Shee, it's hard to find cyber professionals. And satellites on a plane. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
All right, and I'm just going to apologize in advance for that intro. Good morning and welcome to the October 21st episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, commentary, and a little bit of spookiness in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Things are going amazing. I'm in the yellow. That's the microphone readings, by the way, for those who don't know.
And you know, how about the eyebrows? I got to know about the eyebrows.
Am I in fleek with the?
You're on fleek, sir.
You're on fleek. You're the fleekiest. I'm not in fleek. I'm the fleekiest. Oh, the tubes are the best today. How are you? Talk to me.
I'm good, man. Speaking of millennials, and I'll apologize again for that teaser. There's no excuse for that. But. As a throwback to our previous episode, you remember we were talking about the NASA Yeeter, yeeting satellites into space?
Yeet.
It gets better. There are Yeet NASA stickers now available for sale. I saw these pop up. I mean, talking about leaning into it. You know, and obviously these are third party, but I couldn't let this go. I mean, you can have some yeet at home and represent yeet. NASA. Yeah, but we're not here for the yeet. We're here for the news. So why don't we get into it, man? In our top story covering security, CISA U.S. government baselines for Microsoft products. Written by Michael Duffy, Associate Director of CISA at CISA.gov. To help secure federal civilian executive branch information assets stored within the cloud, CISA announced the Secure Cloud Business Applications Project in April, otherwise known as SCUBA. Announced today, the latest contribution to the project is a series of recommended security configuration baselines for Microsoft 365 that will help agencies align with their cloud environments and federal security mandates following cybersecurity best practices. These baselines were created to keep up with evolving technologies and capabilities while protecting the federal enterprise. Included in the Microsoft 365 series are a minimum viable configuration baseline for Teams, SharePoint Online, Power Platform, and OneDrive for Business, among many others. CISA is encouraging FCEB agencies to pilot the recommended baselines, provide feedback, and give public comment on M365 security configuration baseline documents located at GitHub and CISA.gov/SCUBA. The public comment period will be open until November 24th. Tony, you know, this goes back over and over again. I challenged security researchers last year. Stop saying the sky is falling. Stop saying it depends. Give us clear, easy, actionable items we can do to secure ourselves. Once again, CISA is stepping up to the plate. Do you think this means we're going to start to see less? And I'm hoping, even though it's federal only, I'm hoping this trickles down to SMB land, but do you think this will be less, we'll get less of those exchange zero days being used, or the Fortinet firewalls being accessed remotely? You think we're going to see less of that because of the security baselines?
First off, how dare you suggest that we would have less? That would put us out of a job. Who do you think you are suggesting that? That being said, I will like to challenge that maybe they're doing this because you have said repeatedly, hey, CISA, why don't you step up to the plate? Why don't you do something for the betterment of our entire community, not just our industry inside, like in our hyper, hyper siloed space, but the industry, the communities, the world across the board. And maybe this is what they're doing. Maybe you were the keystone to that avalanche.
We don't have any information proving that CISA doesn't watch MSP Dispatch and learn from the recommendations of the show. Proven otherwise, we're just gonna have
I want you to say this right now. Say, I am Batman. Say it.
I am Batman.
No, See, I'm calling it. There's no proof.
Yeah, there's no proof otherwise. And this brush keeps satellites from crashing into Earth. It's you're welcome. You know, no, but seriously speaking, like these baselines, I like to see them because, especially with Microsoft 365, right? It's myriad of like these ridiculous, super powerful, complex things, right? Whether you're talking about mobile device management, whether you're talking about endpoint management, whether you're talking about Azure policies, SharePoint policies, SharePoint defaults to sharing everything publicly with every link. That's the default setting. Microsoft 365 defaulted to logging off, audit logging off. So having these baselines that you can go, and if you're not using SIP, I recommend MSPs go use SIP, CIPP.AI. We'll put it in the show notes, but that's Kelvin Tehelar and many other genius people, their open source project to manage your tenants. But, you know, having these baselines so I can go in and say, okay, OneDrive for Business, we're going to do this. If we need data retention and we need to make sure that we're protecting our data rights, let's say, okay, well, these documents can't be escaped out to a USB drive or can't be emailed out. It can only be within, encrypted portals or whatever you want to do. I like having these baselines. I like being able to tell MSPs, follow this and do this. I think
and the power is coming from above as well. So yeah, you're saying the right things on the front line, as well as we have this back end enforcement that is standardizing these practices. I think that slowly but surely those middle portions that are causing all the turmoil, the day to day, lack of updates, the day to day human. Let me give you my password, even though I'm just an admin here at Uber. Did I say that? Let's pretend that was a rumor. Oh, that was news we reported on. So it's okay. But I think that human interactivity is going to be simultaneously educated against those errors, making for the betterment of the community, as well as a standardization practice from the administrator side to not allow those things to occur as often with the appropriate policies. I think you did it, Ray. I think it's you.
And I like to see it because I look at, one of the things, the easiest things you can do, and it's not easy to apply a compliance framework, right? And I'm not advocating for one versus the other, whether CIS or NIST or whatever. I'm not advocating for a specific framework, but it's easier when you're doing your cybersecurity policy audits. It's easier when you're doing everything else to say, I'm following these practices as prescribed by this entity. And CISA is absolutely a great entity to follow. So let us know. I mean, we know MSPs are following on, following certain frameworks. Let us know in the chat what you're doing. Let us know if you're going to take these into account or you were already doing them. We want to know your thoughts. But Tony, you got some news about Gen Zers and millennials?
Speaking about security risks, coming from darkreading.com, younger workers are less likely to follow established business cybersecurity protocols than their Gen X and baby boomer counterparts. A new survey shows Generation Z millennials, younger workers who have grown up as digital natives, are surprisingly more careless about their employer's cybersecurity than their senior Gen X and baby boomer colleagues. According to Ernst & Young 2022 Human Risk and Cybersecurity Survey, although 83% of workers in the U.S. report they understand their company's cybersecurity policies, younger Gen Z and millennial workers are less likely to comply with them. Tapan Shah, Ernst & Young Americas, says, quote, "This research should be a wake-up call for security leaders, CEOs, and boards, because the vast majority of cyber incidents trace back to a single individual. There is an immediate need for organizations to restructure their security strategy with human behavior at the core. Human risk must be at the top of the security agenda." Ray, let's talk about this because we literally just did a story on a framework coming from the top. And I mentioned that we have an issue from the bottom. Is this possibly the one keystone to an avalanche of stuff at the bottom to train people to be better, while at the top we have better guidelines coming from NIST, from the CISA community? Give me your feedback on that.
I'm all about training. It's surprising to me because I would think those that grow up with technology would be more adequately prepared for technology, right? Like, you know, I grew up telling my kids nothing, you know, my kids grew up with me telling them nothing ever gets taken off the internet. If you put it on the internet, it's stuck there. Good data hygiene, best practices. You would figure that as we get, as new generations come to pass, the newer generations that have had these technologies their whole life, right? There's old generation now. None of the Gen Zers have ever heard a dial-up tone. That having done that, and then when they have their kids, they'll be more properly adept at training their kids. You would think as generations mature and they would become more operationally mature as well. They would understand security best practices. They wouldn't be as at risk as much for the MFA spamming like we just saw with the Uber breach. You would figure that that would go better, but it doesn't sound like that's what's happening at all. Why do you think that?
Maybe because something is so common. And one of the things I talk about during conversations with other executives about how to process information a little bit more pragmatically is it's the things that you are anesthetized to that you've been around with for so long that are unfortunately your biggest flaws. Breathing, for example. We know that your brain requires oxygen and nutrients to function better. Well, deeper breaths mean more oxygen. 90%+ of the people at that time, you can watch them taking a deeper breath. And I point that out. And then everybody starts laughing because it's such a subconscious automated muscle memory function. You tend to be lackadaisical, complacent to what you should be doing because it is such a systemic core function of what you operate on. Security is the exact same thing. This is something that's just, oh yeah, yeah, it's there. Oh, I forgot about that little thing because it's been there the entire time. So maybe that's my theory, but maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. I am fascinated that humans are at the core of all, and a single human of almost all hacks out there. It's an overwhelming percentage. Hacking isn't what it used to be about just, you know, smashing into a wall as hard as you can so many times through a dictionary, a signature files and heuristics and anomaly attacks. Now it's just, let's just social engineer somebody and it'll make its way
through. I mean, you know, if there's one thing we're good at, it's just one more thing that, you know, the Gen Zers are complaining about the Gen X, or the Gen Xers are complaining about the Gen Zers and the millennials, right? It's just one more thing. My generation was so much better. We didn't have, you know, yeet spurt.
You know, do you know what the new generation has though? SpaceX. Ooh. Tell me about it.
So that's absolutely right. Gen Zers and millennials will grow up with satellites on planes. And our third top story, business, SpaceX's satellite internet service is coming to planes with Starlink Aviation, as reported by John Porter on The Verge. Starlink, SpaceX's satellite internet service, will soon be available on select airplanes next year. The service will offer internet speeds of up to 350 megabits per second to each plane equipped with an aero terminal, which is much faster than the 10 megabit air-to-ground system and 30 megabit to 100 megabit satellite system in most in-flight Wi-Fi provides. According to the company, Starlink Aviation will have global coverage and be available throughout the flight, including taxi takeoff and landing. On a test flight by JSX, one of Starlink Aviation's first carriers, Starlink offered 100 megabits internet on board. JSX will make Starlink available to passengers this month, and Hawaiian Airlines will install the service next year. Tony, I don't know if they're going to tell you to turn off your phone or put it in airplane mode, but having Wi-Fi from takeoff, like sitting in there, they turn off the AC. You know why they turn off the air when the planes take off, right? So apparently the engines when you're in we're going on tangent. The engines when you're in air use much less power than they need to take off. Makes absolute sense. So they turn off the cabin air conditioners, the airflow, to divert that power temporarily to the engines so they have enough power to take off. I always thought it was weird they did that. But to have internet access while you're taking off, not the let me let you go real quick, click, then get back up in the air and, you know, do a Wi-Fi call. That's pretty cool, right?
It's not just cool. I mean, let's talk about like pull out your brick phone. Hey, hold on. beep, 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 beep. And then,
hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hey, 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 hey. Those days are kind of done. And I just don't know what the next step is. And did our parents and grandparents talk about this stuff? Like, they got cars and like real bathroom, not the magic water closet I used to have. And, you know, I'm just wondering where this is going to go. And let's talk about the commerce that can take place now, because you have self-driving cars that are coming out. That commute time is a killer in the commerce process. Cellular phones were amazing. Well, now you have a car accident problem. Well, let's get rid of that. And we're talking about it's in the air, it's driving. You are going to be working at all times. When does this slow down? And is there a breaking point? I am fascinated by the mechanisms that are implemented, but the result that we're not really looking at is you're expected to work from everywhere all the time because you can.
I mean, that makes absolute sense. I do believe that the newest generation, and I'll give them credit for this, I think they're getting much more adept at having a true work-life balance, right? For our generation, we were proud to say we work 24/7. We, you know, we never stop. That's not a badge of honor anymore. That's not the same thing. I do look at it like, you know, when I was a kid and we would take road trips, it was, you know, play the, you know, I see something with a yellow roof or whatever, you know, that whole game. When my daughter was growing up, it was grab the CD or the DVDs and have the DVD player in the car, you know, the little portable ones, right? You know, with my son, my car actually has YouTube and all that other stuff in my car today. But you know, when we take a flight, we'll download Netflix movies and put it on the iPad and then so we can watch on the flight. Now we're saying you don't even have to download them in advance. You can just stream them while you're on the flight. 350 megabits is nothing. I mean, that's nothing to shake your nose at. I love the ubiquitous connectivity. I don't love the Elon Musk ubiquitous connectivity, but I do love the fact that he's literally said anywhere on the planet you are, anywhere, and let's be honest, it's probably going to be anywhere off planet eventually, anywhere you are, you have connectivity with home, period. I think that opens up a lot of possibilities in e-commerce and everything else. You know, MSPs, let us know, is it just an excuse to keep working through takeoff? Or do you see some personal benefit or some work benefit? Let us know in the comments below. But for now, Tony, you got some notables for me?
Jumping straight into the geek porn from bleepingcomputer.com. Windows Terminal is now the default Windows 11 22H2 console. Windows users have been running their console programs within Windows command prompt for years, myself included. For those of you routinely working in the command line, whether it's WSL, PowerShell, or the regular command prompt, Windows Terminal brought a new customizable interface that catered to power users and developers. That has changed with Windows Terminal Tabbed Console. It is now the default console for Windows 11 22H2, marking a significant shift for how Windows users run their command line programs. If you're going old school and you don't wish to use the Windows Terminal as the default console program, you can go into Settings, Privacy and Security for Developers and change the terminal settings from Let Windows Decide to Windows Console Host. And in the next notable mention, some more geek porn from darkreading.com. An Apache Commons vulnerability is identified. Patch it, but don't panic. Researchers who have analyzed the recent disclosed vulnerability in Apache Commons text, referred to by some as text for shell, described this week as serious, but unlikely to be as disruptive as last year's log4j bug. The flaw, CVE-2022-42889, is present in versions 1.5 through 1.9 of Apache Commons text and gives attackers a way to run malicious code remotely on vulnerable systems. Shikhar Menashe, a senior director of security research at JFrog, says, quote, "The vulnerability can only be exploited in cases where some Java code exists that uses Apache Commons text and passes attacker-controlled data to specific functions. We believe the exploitation won't be as widespread as log4shell, since these functions seem less likely to receive external user input." Everyone, patch it up and stay safe.
In my first notable mention, cyber attacks on auto dealers on the rise. Because customers have become more mobile-centric, auto dealers have had to streamline sales and service to accommodate them, which in turn has created security gaps. According to CDK's Global State of Cybersecurity in the Dealership, 15% of dealers experienced a cybersecurity incident in the past year. 85% of those affected were due to phishing and resulted in data breaches, IT-related business interruptions, and loss of revenue. The study also found that only 37% of dealers are confident in their current security setup. This represents a 21% decrease in the preparedness compared to CDK Global's 2021 study. What's more, auto retailers have to meet December 9 deadlines in implementing the Federal Trade Commission safeguard rule that outlines compliance measures in securing customer data and implementing a comprehensive information security program. Unfortunately, many dealers are still not up to speed on some terms and requirements of the safeguard rule. In our feedback from last episode, Todd Kane of Evolved Management, and actually we'll put his podcast and website in the description below. Please, Microsoft, just step up and release a limited RMM that people can develop on top of. It would be a huge shift in the channel. I don't disagree whatsoever. Crazy Innova said, sorry, nobody is buying into the metaverse. And then Todd Kane responded, yeah, I'll be shocked if it takes off, and I'm pro VR. AR, on the other hand, will be massive. I actually agree with that 100% too. One of the recent Killing It podcasts discussed VR versus AR. AR, I see massive, massive options for just completely decimating the current regime and making things awesome. And then Kerry Wagner talking about our discussion in the opening banter of which universe would you like to be in, says the one and only true answer, Star Trek. I'll meet you in the Holo Room to go into Star Wars land.
And in our community events on October 23rd through the 25th, an in-person event, Next Gen in Orlando, Florida, on October 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The MSP Dispatch presented by Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco on the MSP Media Network. On October 25th and 26th, another in-person event, CompTIA Fall Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. I will be at that one. On October 25th and through the 27th, another in-person event, Seven-Figure MSP Live in Orlando, Florida. Ray Orsini is going to be there. On the 26th and 27th, another in-person event, IOTSSA Cybersecurity Expo in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And finally, on October 28th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network.
Those of you that attended Huntress's Hackett 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know they're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hackett 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call day zero is a hands-on hacking training lab. Cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away five of the zero-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely we invite you guys to sign up for Hackett 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. I'm actually going to sit here and wait for you to hit the thumbs up button because we ask every episode and hundreds watch, nobody clicks. So I'm going to wait. No, I'm just messing with you. All right. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories or even vote on which ones we'll cover on these episodes. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we yeeted. We had a perfect story with that. We bloopered. You know, I can't think of a more productive episode. How you feeling about this one?
That was amazing. It's always amazing. The news is incredible. I love hearing the standardization, the education that's happening. Of course, we pepper in, you know, some of the horrific things, ransomware, security flaws, but this is all a part of the world that we live in. And it's the reason why we're here. So I thought today was a great show as always. And, we should probably eat.
Yeah. Yeet, yeet, skirt, skirt. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
I'm muted.
Started off out of the gate. We got bloopers. Out of the gate.
Right there. All right. You're muted, by the way. It's all right. It was a sign language. Right. To help. Blah. So close.
A new study showed that Generation Z and millennials, younger work. Messed that one up. Here we go. A new survey shows Generation Z and millennials, younger workers who have grown up as digital natives and surprisingly more. Come on. You opened it up with. It's my turn. Hold on. Here we go.
We all get a turn at the bloopers. Yeah.
That is okay. I want my air. I don't want my airtime on the bloopers. I don't. Here we go. got to get in fleek. A new survey. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Starlink, SpaceX's satellite internet service, will soon be able to on select in English. Starlink, SpaceX's satellite internet service, will soon be able. Available is the word I'm looking for. Okay. Starlink, spaces. Words are really hard. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Research who have identified. Researchers who have analyzed the recent. I got this one. Ready?
And requirements of the safeguard rule. Ha! One take. Suck it. So, sorry. I'm going to take a win where I can get a fucking win, man.
That was awesome. That made me laugh so loud. Suck it. One take. I'm like, ah! I'm like, can you hear me right now? That was amazing. That was amazing.
Dude, you got to celebrate the home runs when you get them, right?
No, that was absolutely beautiful.
Did you know we also have a Discord where we post? Blah, 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 blah. Ah, good Lord. All right. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories or vote on the ones which that we will cover in blah, 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 blah.